represent schools from all over, and I look forward to sharing some of our successes and failures going through the thesis later on. Before we officially begin, I just want you to know that I love this topic. I could talk about it forever and ever, and ours was like not nearly enough time to discuss it. And so if you'd like, after this, whoever's interested, maybe we could find one another during the lunch time, and we could have more exchange of ideas. Maybe specifically talking about rhetoric, in addition to the senior thesis program. Some of you may really want to talk about the rhetoric course itself, and we really don't have time to discuss that during this time period. So if any of you want to hang out together at lunch, I unfortunately have a child at home that's very sick, so I won't be here after lunch today. So I would love to visit with you as much as I can while I am here. Also, I have some things up here that I would love for you to come and grab or look at after this time is over. I have two different DVDs of their highlight videos of senior theses at Regent, so that you can take it home and show it to people, maybe challenge your own students to do something, or maybe you could go home and laugh at them. I don't know.
I don't know what you want to do with
them. I probably don't have enough for, I know I don't have enough for everyone that's here, but I would be so, happy for a representative of various schools. If you don't get one, then I would love to get more copies to you later. You can just let me know. And there are two different ones here of different years. And then these are not for you to take, but I have, this is the compilation of the senior theses. I have one for 2005, 2006, or 2007. So if you, at the front, it tells their titles. You can get an idea of what some of the topics were. And then it has their actual theses with the bibliography following it. And that might be interesting for you to peruse. I also have copies of my curriculum guide, just the syllabus that I get. So there's 30 copies here. If somebody wants one that doesn't get one, I'll make sure that there will be more copies available later. I also have a copy of our judging sheet that we use for every thesis. I did not originally create this. The woman that taught rhetoric the one year before I came did, and I think she took some of it from Logos's, you know, pattern. But we have altered it some as the years have progressed. So essentially, just so you can know, we deal with the five canons of rhetoric on here, evaluating them according to those, which I'm not going to expound on right now. And then we have a large section on how they did fielding questions. And then at the bottom, we have an evaluation section on the level of difficulty. Was it complex? Was it deeply researched? Is it controversial? And the judges evaluate that as well. Last year, we had 44 seniors who gave theses. That would be all of our seniors, because you can't graduate from Regents without passing a senior thesis. And this is our schedule from last year. And so that kind of gives you an idea of the wide array of topics that we had. It has not the topic, but their title, which should tell you what the topic is, ideally. And it also shows the intensity of that process. For 4 days, we listened to 44 theses. So it's a really intense, exciting time at our school. And then I have three different copies of theses from this last year in written form that you're welcome to take. I only made 15 copies of each one, so you might not take one of each. But the different topics are, one is by Rebecca Mays. Hers was on new urbanism. Architecture, it's a new approach to architecture in the residential realm. The next one is by Mary Martha Ballman, and it's on juvenile life imprisonment and why she opposes it. So it has more of a legal tone to it. And the last one is by Callie Burnett, and hers is on art and artifacts, and whether those things should be returned to their country of origin. Like, for example, the Elgin Marble. Should Great Britain return it to Greece or not? So that was her topic, and she said no, that they shouldn't. So, it's an interesting thesis. I inadvertently chose Greek email. I promise you, we have males that do really well at this. But those are the three that I just thought might be fun for you to look at, if you wanted to. Okay, so afterwards, please feel free to come, grab what you want, except these. But you can look at these as much as you want. Okay? Do you have any questions about that?
Could we get all the same information if we gave you our email address?
Absolutely.
Including the discs?
Can
you attach them?
No, I'm not very tech savvy. I could ask someone about that. I'm sure that something that they're capable of doing, but I'm also sure it's something I'm not capable of doing, so.
Okay, we're going to talk for 20 minutes or so about a general outline of the senior thesis, but then we're going to watch a clip of a number of senior theses, so you can kind of get a picture of what they were like over the last 3 years. And then at the end, we're going to have time for an exchange of ideas. So I know that there are a lot of you out there that have been exposed to lots of different ways of doing the senior thesis, and I want you to know right now that I don't believe that Regents has the way that thesis should be done. I think that there are different approaches that are appropriate for your culture, you know, your academic culture, and you need to do what works for your school. So I don't want you to think that I think that my way is the only way. There are many different ways. So I would love for there to be an exchange of ideas about that as we progress. Okay, first of all, what is rhetoric? People ask me, oh, you're a teacher, what do you teach? Rhetoric. It's a great conversation stopper. No one knows what to do after that. What is rhetoric? So I make all of, at Regents, the high school is called the School of Rhetoric. So everyone that I teach has to know the definition by Aristotle of what rhetoric is. And if you ask them, hopefully they could all say, rhetoric is the faculty of discovering all the available means of persuasion in any given situation, whatever. So, basically what Aristotle is saying is it's the art of persuasion, right? Just recently I was in Zambia, Africa, and there were five or six of my students that happened to be on the bus. I wasn't there on a school trip. I was there for a mission trip, but some of the students from Regents were there. And somebody asked me, what is rhetoric? And I said, well, and then all of a sudden they started chanting together. It was such a happy moment. Rhetoric is the faculty of discovering, etc. It was very fun. So I really love Aristotle's definition and think that it encapsulates it well. So in your outline, it says, why teach rhetoric? But really, I'm going to talk about why have a senior thesis. Okay? I think that there is tremendous educational value for having a senior thesis. It should be the capstone of their education. It should be the culmination of what they've learned through their years at this classical school. The students that I find it most difficult to teach are those that just arrived for their senior year. They don't have the framework that these other students have gained as they've been at the school. So, educationally, how is it helpful? First of all, we require them to write in an excellent manner. Is it organized? Is it stylistically beautiful? So we expect all of that writing training that they've had since they began should all come to play in their senior thesis. Secondly, we require a tremendous amount of research. They've been practicing research for a long time, right? But this is more than they've ever done. For example, I require them to do an annotated bibliography. Just over 10 courses at the very beginning of the process, but that's a lot to expect of these kids. So they have to figure out what are good sources and why is this a defensible source for my topic. And within those 10 sources, they need to have some that are for and against their given topic. So they need to know how to research, and we train them to do that. At the end, hopefully they've already gained it, but we make sure they know how by the time they do their senior thesis. Third, I really think that the senior thesis is a challenge for them in remembering all that logic that they have. And students that come in high school that didn't have the intensive logic in middle school miss out. Now, I do have some review of that in our sophomore rhetoric class, but I believe that they should remember what those fallacies are. They should remember that they need to avoid those fallacies, and the entire thesis needs to be logical and compelling and orderly. So they should reflect that logic training that they have.
And finally, we at Regents require it to be not just a written thesis, but a delivered thesis, a presentation. So this is book reports that they did in first grade, and those debates that they did in eighth grade, they all come together in that senior thesis. And honestly, it shouldn't be too terrifying for them to stand up in front of the group when they've been doing it in costumes since first grade, right? And that's the desire. Those of you out here that are elementary teachers, there may not be very many of you, but I know there's a few, you are training them, preparing them for their senior thesis. It's not something that they should just be faced with at the end of their senior year. It should be the culmination of that education that they had the privilege of experiencing. I also believe that this can be a very practical thing for these students. Okay, they're finishing up your school. You have academic rigor, but they're about to go out and face something entirely new, which is the university. And that's scary. And what the senior thesis does for these students, inevitably, is it gives them a new level of confidence. They sometimes become academic when they weren't before. They're forced to. But it prepares them and gives them confidence that if I could do a 20-minute speech and be hammered by judges for 20 more minutes, I can fix anything. I can't tell you how many students have emailed me and said, for today in my college speech class, they assigned me a 7-minute speech, and all the other kids were freaked out. But I thought, that was ridiculous. We did that so many times in your class, I have nothing. So you're giving them confidence. I had one student that, to be honest with you, she really didn't do a great job on her thesis, but she came up to me afterwards and she said, you know how I'm nervous today? People come up to you and they say, do you feel older today? And you think to yourself, no, I feel just like I did yesterday. She said, after I did my thesis, I felt older. You know, we are giving them a gift that they know they have done something important. Isn't that wonderful? It's just a privilege to be able to do that with these students. And then another practical way that you are helping these students in the senior thesis program is, well, different schools have different approaches to it, but we allow them to choose their topics. And many of them are very practical in the world that they're facing. Social security, the medical issues, whatever. And if they choose a topic that they care about and interact about it, it is exciting. I will walk down the hallway second semester senior year and I'll see students over here desperately debating the solution for the social security system, right? That is so exciting. You are practically preparing them to be more equipped adults, more responsible adults, thinking adults. And this year, not the students didn't go to every one of the 44, but for the ones that they heard and they talked to one another about it, they didn't just learn about their thesis topic. They learned about 44 thesis topics. And that is a gift to them. And many students choose topics that will deeply impact them later in life. Like my son, who was a senior this last year. I won't even tell you the challenges that presented for me, but nonetheless, he hopes to be a missionary in Africa someday. And the topic that he chose was that the large Western aid agencies are causing more harm than good in sub-Saharan Africa. So he read so many books on Africa, talked to experts from Africa and about Africa, and it was great for him, for his future. Or we had a student that gave a thesis a few years ago on the role of the church is not just to evangelize, but to be a part of the business community and be involved in microfinancing to help the poor, both at home and abroad. And right now, he is working for an organization that does microfinancing loans. And I believe that his thesis propels him toward that. And then there's a student we have this year who will be a governor of Texas, he thinks, or maybe the president of the United States, and he did his own campaign finance reform. And trust me, he knows a lot about campaign finance reform now. So it's very fun for them to choose topics that matter in the world and will make them better equipped as they go out into the world.
So what is a senior thesis? That's a hard question to answer because it really looks different at different schools. And that is good and appropriate. Some restrict the topics that the students can use. It might be a subset of an apologetics course or a literature course or a history course. And that's wonderful. And other people have it as a part of the rhetoric program. Some have the thesis be more of a written format, and they don't do an oral presentation of it. Others do a very abbreviated oral presentation, and sometimes it's just before a small group of judges. But at Regents, we do the full presentation. They're only given 2 sheets of paper that they can take up with them. Only the front can be written on. And then they present the entire thesis verbatim and then are questioned in front of a group of judges. Some people have the panel of judges just be faculty only. And others, like us, we have 5 to 6 judges. About half of them are faculty, and half of them are people from the community, often parents at Regents, that maybe if it's a legal one, as Mary Martha's was, she would have an attorney on her panel. Or if it's a medical one or a scientific one, they'll have a scientist or a doctor on their panel, at least one. Or if it's theological, we'll have pastors on that panel. So we really try to make sure that there are people that know a lot about the subject that can challenge them in their thinking. But I do want to tell you that 2 students that I spoke with this summer who went to classical school, who gave a senior thesis, I said, so how was it? What was it like? Like, of course, you know I love this topic, so I was asking them about it, and both of them said this. They said, my thesis was a joke. Okay, that is not acceptable. We can have wide range of what we expect of the students and how it works, but ultimately, the senior thesis should be, legitimately, the capstone of their education. If you don't expect a lot of them, they won't give you much, right? These students know when you expect a lot of them, and they respond to that. And we have failed students before who didn't do well at a senior thesis. And what does that mean? It means they don't graduate. It means they don't walk across the stage. That's a huge expectation. Now, we are determined to equip them to be successful. We're determined to do our best to set them in a position where they will be successful, but if they don't respond to that, should we pass them anyway? No. And I'm thankful that we do have an administration that believes that and supports that no matter what the parents say. It's important to believe in these students and to expect a lot of them. Okay. Later, we're going to have you talk about what a thesis looks like at your school, but now I'm going to tell you about the Regents setup, and then we'll watch some in a little bit. But essentially, it's a part of our rhetoric class for senior year. Some of them choose their topic, like a few of these upcoming seniors have already had their topic approved by me, but many of them don't end up choosing their topic till the end of October. But once they choose, they're there. That's their topic. Now, they can flip sides, like they might think that they're opposed to affirmative action, and this happened with one of our students, and then you research, and you thought, you know what, maybe affirmative action is a good thing. So they can flip positions if they want to, but they can't change topics. So late October, they've chosen their topic, they're assigned a faculty advisor. I am ultimately responsible for all of them, but they also all have an advisor that works with them. They read what they've written, they help them some with research, they talk about approaches, they are a sounding board. I have 34 that I have to be a sounding board for, and so that faculty member is an essential part of the process. And so they research, and then in January they have to do their annotated bibliography, and then they also, in early February, have to give an antithesis. This is a strange thing, but it means that, for example, my son was that Western aid agencies' aid is more problematic than helpful. Well, he had to give a speech from the reverse position. And so he had to try to really enter into their thinking, their position, and try to be winsome and persuasive from the opposite perspective.
And in order to choose a topic, it has to be legitimately arguable both ways. So if you talk about sex slavery, kind of hard to spin that one, right? It'd be really hard to do that in a sentence. So we make and choose something that is controversial. And we all, the only other criteria is that it has to be academic, scholarly, something that they can research. Now that's kind of a loose term, as you'll see some of our topics, but they need to be able to research it in great depth. Okay, so they give their thesis, they present it, it's almost the same length as the thesis, and they get hammered with questions, and they have to stay true to their position. It's hysterical to watch people try to do this, and some of them are really good at it, and then you wonder if they've lied to you earlier in the year, but really, they are, this is so good for them to have to contemplate genuinely what the opposition would think. And then we have them start writing their thesis, and then they present their thesis after they finish their final. So this is the last thing they do before they go on a senior trip and graduate. And it's a 20-minute presentation in front of a group of judges, a panel of judges, 5 to 6 people, and in front of a lot of people listening to them, like this number or more, consistently. So they could be humiliated, or they could be very successful. So it's 20 minutes of speaking, and then 20 minutes of question and answer. The judges are the only ones that get to ask the questions, and they are told to be as hard as possible. They research their subject ahead of time. They bring in articles that they've read, and it can be really challenging. And we believe that it's important that it's challenging, because we want these students to feel like they did something afterwards, right? I think that's important. Okay, now,
maybe you're wondering, why should we make these seniors work so hard? I just had a senior. I know what senioritis is like, and it's ugly. And I've taught seniors for 8 or 9 years, and it can be really annoying. But I just want you to know that if you allow them to do nothing, which is really what a lot of schools do their senior year, you know what? You've really worked hard here. We're just happy to have you with us. That's kind of the message that we communicate to these students sometimes, but that's not acceptable. So expect a lot of them and demand a lot of them. And senioritis, although it might be haunting them, isn't possible with a senior thesis. They still have to work hard. Now, that might mean that some other classes get the brunt of their senioritis, but I don't, and I'm really thankful for that. They have to work hard in my class. Some might wonder, can everyone actually do this? You know, we have a lot of bright students at Regents. We also teach a lot of average students, or even some below average. But, you know, you need to believe that they're capable of this. And they are. Let me just give you some examples. One student this year who had a GPA of probably a 2.3 or something, she clearly wasn't really into academics. She chose her topic. We challenged her to really rise to the occasion. She turned things in early. She was so passionate about her subject. When she got up to speak, it was so impressive. She became a student because we told her she had to. And she did, finally. And she felt such a sense of accomplishment. Or a couple guys that I can remember definitely preferred football over school. Okay, there's a lot of them that probably feel that way, we understand. But nonetheless, you still have to be a student. And I can think of two that really would not embrace the academic world. They were great at football, not so good at academics. But two in particular that I can remember were so great. They finally gave the intensity that they normally gave to football to their senior thesis. And they were so successful and impressive. And it's because we said, you have to do it. And we gave them the belief in themselves to realize that they really were students. It was good. Or another student who had Asperger's, which I'm not going to go into, but it's a really tough thing. And then to come up, speak in front of a large audience, and then be grilled, it was really tough. His parents cried for his whole thesis. But he was good. He was really good. That is to say that all of our
upfront speaking activities during his year were bad. There were some bad ones. And he was hiding under his sweatshirt frequently in my class. But come thesis time, he did it. And he did it beautifully. One last one that I want to tell you about is we had a student this last year who didn't graduate. He failed some courses, and he wasn't able to graduate. And he found that out before it was the time for his senior thesis. So obviously, he could have decided not to do it. But he spoke to his parents about it, and they decided that he would do it. And I was so proud of him. And for him, it was an important thing for him to realize, you know what, even though I didn't graduate like I wanted to and like my parents wanted me to, I am still a part of the senior class, and we all get senior theses, and I can pass this. And I think that it was a confidence booster for him. And I was so pleased that he made that choice. That's what we want. People to embrace this idea and think, you know what, I am capable of this. Because they all are, whether they're introverts or extroverts.
I've had so many students cry as they came up to give their practices in our class. We would have every single week, I have practices in presentation. Maybe we're working on movement. Maybe we're working on gestures. Maybe we're working on eye contact. But every week, they are in front of one another. And through these multitude of exercises, they improve. Imagine that. And they're not so overwhelmed by the audience. So even though they cried about 15 times up in front of their classmates, they didn't when they gave their senior thesis. And that is an accomplishment. Okay, now I really want you to see some of my students. This one is available up here as one of these. And I don't know whether we'll get to see the entire thing, but you're just going to see little clips of theses over the past 3 years. We do have a thesis award winner every year, and they're the first three that you're going to see. Unfortunately, you don't get to see this past year, and they were the best ever. We had amazing speakers this last year, so you're going to get a taste of what it's like here. So maybe I can actually have this happen. I think it's going to be a little yellowish in color, but it's fine. Could somebody use the lights in there? Wherever they might be. Thank you.
Federal government. through those who are so consumed about re-election that they choose to ignore the issue and pay in out of their lobby. Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves in that state today. We've come back today to problem-solving America, where the citizens of this country were put first and not re-election. Finally, we must understand that America has an incredible opportunity to be an example to the rest of the world on making this country a safe place. John Winthrop wrote that. We must consider that we shall be as a city upon a hill, the eyes of all people.
This is sort of a question and answer.
What would you have people in this room say is what you want to say? I want you to go home. And I want you to write your senators. I want you to write congressmen. So you hear it all the time in some speeches. But if enough people do it, and their constituents are doing it, the Republican constituents who are in office, they will not ignore that. They will look at the issue. They will come together to see the need for reform. I mean, when you sit down there and think that, where we can bring down the people. I believe that every person should be convinced that we need simple and people. But going home and writing to Congress and writing to senators, donating to gun control groups that are sensible gun control is a great way to take on this issue.
Alexis Pocono, the celebrated biographer of American Gunnery. There come periods in which nations feel tormented by such great evils. The idea of a total change. The political constitution loses itself to their opinion. That is the time for great revolution and great ones. I believe we live in such a time, a time of revolution and great power. America is represented today by two political parties whose battle lines are remote from the 20th century and rooted in conflicts of social class and race. These conflicts work because they mirror the fabric of common visions. However, as the 20th century ended, new conflicts emerged, which superseded the previous ones. The committee of the party's traditional appearance is disenfranchised. This new conflict centers the gap between world traditionalists and world progressives. This sets the right angle to restore the party's position. The both Republican and Democratic parties strive to accommodate this shift. They, like all institutions, whose power derives from the commons, have not, and I believe will not be able to drive the shape. My research suggests a large bulk of voters from both parties, as well as independents, are ready for a new political platform. Where they can bridge traditional moral values that will be incorporated by religious fundamentalists that grasp our left-wing political threats. The need for a political change will right and wrong debate. And civic duty to obligation of all citizens. A moral division has entered the group today. Where our forefathers agreed, virtue, those truths.
Interrogations to save many lives will continue to do so in a completely place in the world spirit. Now think of me.
As a daughter of a pastor, I was fairly well acquainted with church life for a quarter of a I had been taught well enough to know not to scream and blame the people, that the pew is not the color of the and that old women don't like their hair, no matter how many chairs they hang down. I knew in church that in church was not a possession. Now, someone was that, that's what was part of it. And so one day, there was a rededication of the church. After months of being sick and preparing the years, Hurricane Hugo had left unwelcome pastor life. And Holy Communion Church was still good to the pastor. My mother and I, being the family of pastors, got the carpet, the fishbowl, if you will, for all eyes fixated on the desert and off and off. It was all smiles to the offering of the pastor. And I saw that shining face filled with prints in a variety of forms. Something came over me. Now you get a chance for a sports fan for front row seats. Money. Waiting for anything I can pick up with my 4-year-old hands.
Just because our sometimes challenges that,
not be an expressive content. Instead, he challenges to actually bring up people's freedom because they want them first to determine what they should be doing, and then challenge them to stand against them.
Could you turn the light on? Okay, you can see probably a wide array of topics, some that you might not have thought. We encourage them to take positions that they believe in. And if it's not what I believe in, that's okay. But they have to be able to defend it capably and winsomely. And if they can't, then that's bad for them. They're not a good place for their senior thesis. So you can see just an array. Some are theological, some are current issues, and others are literature or history. Okay? I would love now for us to open this up for comments about the way your senior thesis program works, things that you think work well, or even if you have things that you think don't work as well, maybe we can have an exchange of ideas about that. Or if any of you have any questions about our program, I'd be happy to respond. Yes?
I'm wondering how you grade the thesis in the book. The written part, the oral part, how does that all weigh together?
Well, by the time that they actually present their thesis, I will have looked at their written material. We break it up into parts that they turn in, so they don't have to write a huge take of all of them. So I will have looked at what they've written four times. So they had a lot of evaluation on the written portion. But what they asked, and so they did grades on those as the semester progresses, but their actual grade for their thesis is based on that presentation. And so I have up here samples of the judging sheet, so I encourage you to look at that. But this is the way that I try to help my students and protect them, but at the same time give the judges power. I have five or six judges evaluating this. We had over 200 judges at our PCs this last year because, you know, it's not the only one who wants to judge this one or that one or whatever. So we had a huge array of judges, which means that some are really nice and overly generous and others are overly harsh. And so we have to kind of balance that out. So what I do is Jeff Bob back there, who's one of our teachers, he and I grade all of them. So there's a baseline that is comparable. And then the other judges, the other five or six or whatever, I average Jeff and all of theirs together, and that's a grade. And then I do my own separate before I look at their grade. And then whichever grade is higher is what I give my students. And frequently, they're close. But sometimes they get the judge's grade. Sometimes they get my grade. But a lot of people just aren't knowledgeable about how an 18-year-old can process questions in the give and take. It's really a challenge. And we want them to be good at it, but they're still 18-year-olds. And so some judges are that's the way you do it. Is that clear? Okay.
Do they have a chance to practice answering questions from judges?
Yes. We do a lot of exchange from the time that they choose their topic clear up to the actual thesis. So we'll practice in the classroom setting. And so they stand up and field five questions or whatever that day, and then we do it again on other days. One thing that I do as well, I'm sure that you're like me and you cannot stand the light, all that stuff. We just hate it. So we try to eliminate it by one day when they do their practice fielding of questions. I have this huge cowbell. I was raised in a farm. I have this huge cowbell. And if they say any of the words that are unacceptable, I ring the bell. And some people become completely incapacitated for speaking because they don't talk without like that, you know, just the way they are. Even though our other teachers do their best to not let them do it either, it's still a part of their culture. So I do that to try to make the actual presentation of their responses and question and answers to be higher quality. But I also encourage them to go spend time with their faculty advisor or other people that they know that know a lot about their subject, and they just spend an hour with them, you know, responding to questions. And we have one person that's just a parent in the community that meets with whoever wants to, makes them cry frequently just during their time, but then they're set up for when they actually do their thesis. Nothing's going to be as hard as William Black's question. So, okay.
Do you ever have difficulty with students lagging on their deadlines so that they end up turning in junk because they just didn't get it done?
Of course. We definitely have this question, but do you ever have students lagging on deadlines so that what they ultimately turn in? Yes. Well, the advisors don't play as much of a role on enforcing the deadlines. That's really my job. I'm very good at being mean, and so I get on those kids and mean, try to challenge them. But, you know, they lose points every time they turn it in late. 10% for every day it's late. And that starts really adding up. So I've had a few students that were failing my class as they entered the actual presentation of the thesis because they needed to do really well on that in order to pass my class. But you know what? You can only encourage them so much, and then it's really their success or failure. But you have to be firm in really holding to the penalties that you set forth. So that's when you involve the parent, because that might mean that this child won't graduate. And, you know, it really does become a very serious thing in the scheme of thesis. That's a really good question. Yes.
What kind of research projects do they do as 9th and 11th grade to kind of step up to this?
They're constantly writing at our school, of course. And they have research-related papers that they do in each grade level, multiple ones. Some of them don't require outside research, but that majority of them do.
Yeah. You want me to? Mm-hmm. In ninth grade, they write 1 5-page history paper and 2 5-page literature papers with outside sources. Sophomore year, they write 2 3-to-5-page history papers, 4 lit papers, 3 to 5 pages, then they get into my junior history class where they write, the juniors write 2 7- to 9-page history research papers, 4 lit papers, and then the seniors actually write 3 kind of 9 and 11 page research papers before they start the thesis project. So they do a lot of research and writing.
And of course, we also have, you know, things like turning for science and math. They right. even do some writing in math. So there's a lot of writing in our school. Yes.
I'm curious what the topics were for the Asperger's boys, the football boys, and the low average girl.
Good question. The Asperger's boys was on the Patriot Act and, you know, whether that's a breach of security. The girl that I mentioned that was low performing, it was on forced marriage within the context of religion and whether that's something that we should allow or not. And the two football guys that I was mentioning, one was assisted suicide. He was in favor of it. Interesting. And the other one actually did an athletic one, which I'd never allowed before, but it was very well done. And it was Title IX. He was opposed to the impact that Title IX has had, for those of you who don't know what that is, that giving females equal status as males in receiving scholarships and other academic preferences at the community level. So that's it.
Yes, I want to thank you for this presentation. I just appreciate the paradigm so much, I think, because I do many of the same things.
I love that.
I just feel more, a little bit.
And what school are you from?
From Heritage in Fredericksburg.
Yeah.
But because we have we've had small classes up until now. We just graduated 11 seniors.
Right.
We do the full paper, graded 3-4 drafts beforehand, and then we do a panel which includes a few staff members and people in the community, professionals in the community, right. And it's an hour and a half session.
Wow.
Question and answer. It's only a 5-minute oral presentation.
Yes.
And then the grillers begin to grill.
Yeah.
When if they're judges, and sometimes the judges make them cry.
Absolutely.
And so I just pick up pieces, so I let them know I'm in their corner. Mm-hmm. As their thesis director, I'm in their corner. If they're too easy on them, then I start pouring lots of questions to try to keep them reserved.
Yeah.
But this is only in a small situation, which we are getting bigger, and I need to talk to them a little, maybe if I could talk to you more about
yeah.
doing that many theses It's amazing. But I was wondering, throughout all of these papers, are they required to adopt or defend a Christian perspective, a Christian worldview? Now, I understand they can do, and I have my kids do both sides.
Right.
You know, they do both sides, but are they required to adopt and defend the Christian worldview with your
That is such a great question, and I think that's something that every school needs to wrestle with on their own. So I am in no way proposing my perspective or our school's perspective, but we allow them to take a position that they believe in, and it may not reflect the Christian worldview. They are all required to write an essay for me as they're getting ready to write it, which is, how does Christianity intersect with your thesis? And so they have to write an essay about that, filling it with scripture. But that's a fascinating moment, because for some of them, they just look at me and go, there isn't any scripture for my topic. So it may be that there isn't any scripture that deals with transhumanism, which we have, of course, but it also may be that they take the anti-Christian view, sort of. And so we talk about that, and almost always in the questioning, they say, well, do you have any support for this in scripture? And so I prepared my kids to know how to respond to that. But now all of the families that come to our school are required to sign a statement of faith that they support their children being taught this way. But that does not mean that every teenager that I teach espouses Christianity. And I think that it's false, just personally, to force them to bring in a Bible verse just for that moment when it really doesn't fit. If your topic's about, it really does fit in the issue of suicide, but less so in the issue of Title IX, But they still should be able to think about the deeper implications spiritually of that topic. Does that answer your question?
That's very good.
Okay.
I do not disallow, and in fact I invite people on the panel that are, I suspect, unbelievers.
Right.
Okay?
Yes.
But I do let my students know that if they cannot present a Christian worldview, then I will do my best, and that I will do my best to continue to challenge them.
I think that's very good.
And I've had some students do papers on art. Papers on just various things. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, that's fine. Yeah, you go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I said, then I'll be ready for it.
Right. I think that's great. And again, what you're doing is,
the Word of God needs to intersect every aspect of our lives. And I hear that being said in the plenary session.
Absolutely.
And so I believe that, and we're going to investigate that together.
Right, and when you do that, you're believing in that.
Right.
Okay. You believe that? Let's defend it. And I think you're right. Let's evaluate that. So that's good. Yes.
Our school is, as many probably are here, a baby school. We just actually had our first graduated class. We added one grade per year. Started preschool, one grade per year, had our first graduating class in last year, six students. So our first real class, this next year's class is just going to have seven girls. So it's kind of unusual. It's not like a real class as well.
Right.
But as we're still, kind of grasping this whole rhetoric, school, and learning as we go, this is something that we definitely want to adopt. But how do you all, you mentioned sophomore rhetoric.
Mm-hmm.
So does that include then your literature, or is that a separate class?
It's a separate course.
Okay.
And it only meets twice a week. But we talk a lot about critical thinking,
uh-huh.
and we have a review of logic in case some kids came in just in high school.
Okay.
And we have a lot of debate. It's more of an interactive public speaking mode, as opposed to it's just them up there on their own.
Well, yeah, because what I'm wondering is, in our current setup and the way that we have our curriculum, I don't know if what we're giving them is enough to reach that, level of being able to write a senior thesis, because we have British literature, American literature, mm-hmm. rhetoric when they're juniors, which is a
right.
5-day-a-week class, but that they only have it the 1 year.
Yeah.
And so then when they get to be seniors, does that really, I mean, they do write papers in various classes for different things, but would you recommend that they have other opportunities to, you know, to present, or should they have more of the rhetoric and the, you know, the opportunities to speak in front of people in order to be ready for that as a senior?
Well, I really think that every school has to sort through their, you know, figuring out their curriculum. But I think that you would be surprised. I really do believe that when they give book reports in first grade, it will help prepare them. You might encourage the teachers to have a little bit more, like we have in history, we have, I think, a debate or two that occurs along the way, which helps also for them to gain confidence and to understand more about what it means to speak in public. But I do agree with you that it is challenging if they don't actually have a rhetoric class their senior year for them to build on that confidence that they could get. So maybe you have to incorporate that more within the junior year. Anybody else have input for her on that?
My daughter was the first 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th.
At what school?
At Redeemer in Kingsville, Maryland. And I have to say, we just did it the first year, and she learned so much from there. And when she went on to college, the teachers were amazed. And she had teachers, she went away to Ohio, and people, her teachers were looking for faculty schools for their kids. But I think, no matter if you don't think they're equipped, you know, she probably wasn't as equipped as like my son's class now. But you need to have them jump in, and you need to jump in, because we are shoring up our program in the low end, and you can't have them prepared enough. You need to have it and then see.
I think that's just great input. When I look back to the very, I judged the PCs the first year. I wasn't the teacher, and then since then I've been the teacher. And our first year, well, and even the first few years, I really feel like they didn't have a standard with which to measure. So it's harder for them. And every year, our PCs get better because they go, okay, she memorized 9/10 of it. I'm going to memorize 10/10 of it, you know, that sort of thing. So the standards get a little higher, but I will say that the lead classes at our school were amazing people. The kids that have to forge the way, they have more leadership opportunities. They have lots of mistakes made on them, but really, they are so blessed. And so I think that, as you said, just jump in and have them do it, and it'll get better as you go along, and you'll learn what you need to change to help them be more of it.
I'd like to know, do you have parent opposition to the amount of work that the children are having to do? Because obviously the children also have other classes.
It's so true. They have other classes. Really, they're maybe more fellow teacher opposition. They get a little tired of me asking for another paper from them. But I think that's a really valid question. Thankfully, because it's been established for a while, there is an expectation for parents that these kids will do a lot of work. And the seniors tell the juniors, sophomores, freshmen, that there's a lot of work to do. And so, and also by having parents be some of the judges, they come and watch and they see the final product and they go, okay, whatever work they did to get there, I want my child doing that.
Yeah.
And this is a funny story about that. We had a woman that's an attorney that was judging once this last year, and she brought her first grader to come and observe. And we have lots of younger students that watch the PC. So he was sitting over here watching his mom judge and everything. And then it was over. They're on their way home. What do you think about that, son? It was hard. So, you're going to be ready to do it when you become a senior? I think I'm going to be sick that day. And, you know, we all feel that way a little bit. But it's kind of something that you need to ingrain into the culture. This is so valuable. They're going to be so much more capable and confident because of it. And you have to sell that to the parents. And it may take a while. So you may have to build on the amount of work as you progress. Yes?
As far as mechanics, how much time do you spend in the preparing the presentation? It looks like most of them are memorized. And also, There was one that looked like they used PowerPoint. Is that optional, or how do you address
it? It is optional. The only thing that it has to work perfectly without fail. And we can't waste any time on them figuring out what's wrong with it. And it can't distract from them as a speaker. And he did an incredible job with it. But he's actually the only one in the 9 years that I've taught that's used that. Others have used like posters right next to them or something like that. But it is complex to make sure the PowerPoint does function exactly right. And it can't take away from their 20 minutes of speaking. So his was just visual, and he was still talking. And somebody else pushed the button. But your first question was about
how much time
preparing.
Right.
Okay, all year long, every single Friday, we have upfront speaking activities. And they are hugely various. If any of you want like a summary of some of them that I do, I'd be so happy to email it to you. But that is preparation for their thesis presentation, and they're having fun with it. But in addition to that, they have to turn in their final written thesis 1 month ahead of time. So if they're the first week of May, then they got it written absolutely perfect April, the first week of April. And that gives them time. They also have to have an outline approved by me because they only get to take up 2 sheets of paper. And so then they start working on memorization over that month. And you know, at classical schools, they do a lot of memorizing. So generally, the students are pretty good at it. So we try it. Now, I have had students that have gotten almost their entire thesis at about 5-point font on those 2 pages, which is acceptable, but they'll be really bad at the presentation. And generally, they realize, you know what, I can't hold a font, so they don't. Okay, we're really out of time, so I want to give you guys permission to leave, but please come up and grab what you want, and if you want to meet around some table for lunch, that'd be great.